So nice to be back together again, isn't it? Glad you're here. Nice to be with you. Encourage you to get your Bible and to study with us. Since this book contains words which the Holy Ghost teacheth, 1 Corinthians 2:13, and all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, 2 Timothy 3:16, one word has great value. I'm calling our attention today to that word always. It appears 62 times from Genesis to Revelation. We'll not take time to explore all 62 of those. But I call attention to just a few examples of when the Holy Spirit saw fit to use that word always to teach us some things that we need to know. I begin in the book of Deuteronomy in chapter 5 and verse 29. As Moses stood in the plain of Moab to exhort the children of Israel to obedience, the Lord said, "Oh, that there were such an heart in them that they would fear me and keep all my commandments." Notice the next word. Always. That it might be well with them and with their children forever. As you explore the use made of the word always, you might jot down the fact that we're taught to keep God's commandments always. In chapter 6 and verse 24 of the same book, the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is at this day. Then in chapter 11 and verse 1, "Therefore thou shalt love the Lord thy God and keep his charge and his statutes and his judgments and his commandments." When? Always. If we could learn that, our time would be well spent, wouldn't it? Just to keep God's commandments always. It's not that we're to keep some of his commandments some of the time, but God wanted his people to have a heart that would be dedicated to keeping all his commandments always. God's commandments for us today are contained within the gospel of Christ. In Romans 1, 16 and 17, Paul talked about the gospel and said, "Therein is the righteousness of God revealed." The psalmist in Psalm 119, 172 said of God, "All thy commandments are righteousness." If God's commandments are righteousness and the righteousness of God is revealed within the gospel, then the gospel reveals God's commandments for us today. In Revelation 22 and verse 14, John said, "Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city." And so may you and I be stirred and stimulated to keep God's commandments always. Another instance where the word always is used is in the book of Luke in chapter 18 and verse 1. When the Lord spoke a parable to this end, that men ought always to pray. And so make a note of the fact that we are taught always to pray. In Luke 21 and verse 36, it is written, "Watch ye therefore, and pray always." Writing the Romans in chapter 12 and verse 12, Paul said, "Continuing instant in prayer." That simply put, praying always. In Ephesians 6 and 18, Paul talked about putting on the whole armor. And as he discussed the various pieces of armory, he said in verse 18, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit." Writing the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 17, he said, "Pray without ceasing." In other words, pray always. I don't know of any finer example of that than Daniel of old, when prayer was outlawed, who went into his room and he didn't change his prayer habits, but he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed to God as he did aforetime in the book of Daniel chapter 6 and verse 10. When Jesus, at the death of Lazarus in John 11, spoke, he said in John 11, verse 42, "Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always." And so, in light of the fact that God hears always, we ought to be encouraged to pray always. In Colossians chapter 4 and verse 12, when Paul wrote the church of Colossae, he talked about Epaphras. And one of the expressions of Epaphras' faithfulness is the fact that he was always laboring fervently for you in prayers. If you'd been Epaphras, would it have been said of you, always laboring fervently in prayers? Here's a man who prayed always. But also, when I came across this word always, in the book of Acts 24 and verse 16, I found where the Apostle Paul made this statement. And herein do I exercise myself. Paul, what was your exercise program? He said, to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men. Maybe we don't put enough emphasis on exercise like we should. I don't mean going to a gym or lifting weights. I'm talking about this kind of exercise, spiritual exercise, to have a conscience always void of offense toward God and toward men. That word exercise suggests to train and to develop. It takes some work, doesn't it? To develop a conscience that has been so trained by God's word that it does not contain a violation or infraction when it comes to moral or social code. Notice he talks about toward God and toward man. In other words, he always tried to do what was right. You know, your conscience, the product of what you've been taught, is always with you, wherever you go. And it is a witness to whether or not you're doing right or wrong. In Romans 9 and verse 1, he said, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost. Your conscience bears witness. It testifies as to whether you're telling the truth or not, as to what you're doing is right or not. It either excuses us or accuses us. Like Paul said in Romans chapter 2 and in verse 15, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the mean while accusing or else excusing one another. When Paul wrote his second letter to the Corinthians in chapter 1 and verse 12, he said, our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have had our conversation in the world and more abundantly to youward. Here is a man who is grateful that his conscience testified that he lived in simplicity and godly sincerity in the world and before his brethren. How about us? Can we say that this afternoon? May we exercise ourselves as Paul did, so as to always have a conscience void of offense toward God and toward man. How's your conscience today? But also, in the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 15 and verse 58, another always statement. Paul, in teaching truths about the resurrection, came to this climax. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable. What's the next word? Always. Not just some of the time, or even most of the time, but always abounding in the work of the Lord. And so I made a note of the fact that when the Holy Spirit used this word always, he chose this word in regard to our abounding in the work of the Lord. We always need to abound, to be filled with, to pour ourselves out into the Lord's work. You know, the Lord's work is an abounding work. There's much to do. The Bible talks about the work of an evangelist in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 5. Just read the books written to evangelists like 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus. And if you take some paper and write down everything that he gave by instruction to these men of God, you'll find that there's much to do in the work of an evangelist. Also, the Bible talks about the work of elders. 1 Peter chapter 5, Peter talked about taking the oversight thereof and feed the flock of God. That's a lot of responsibility, isn't it? Take the word deacon and the work of a servant. There's a lot of work involved in that. The Bible talks about the work of the ministry in the book of Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 12. and so there's much to be done. What are some things that ought to move me to abound always in the Lord's work? Well, one thing is the fact that the Lord said to do that, and because of who he is. Secondly, because the fact that it's not in vain. That is, it's not empty. It's of value. He said, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Also, I ought to be excited about working for the Lord because of the fact that there's going to be a reward. In 1 Corinthians 3:8, Paul said, every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. That tells me I can't get in line behind you and expect to receive the reward you get because of your labor. I've got to do my own work. It's personal work, see? And you can't expect to get in line behind somebody else and say, okay, since that fellow back there, he's been working so hard, I think I'll just slip in and get the same reward he does. Every man receive his own reward according to his own labor. And so that motivates me to always abound in the Lord's work, but also to find rest at the end of the day. Do you look forward to rest? Maybe you've worked so hard that you're tired and you can't wait to put your head on the pillow. You know, the sleep of a laboring man is sweet, the Bible says. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 11, the Bible says, let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. And so why labor? So you can enter into rest. The rest is for the laborers. No labor, no rest. And I tell you another reason to labor, because it'll help keep you from falling. Notice he said, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Why is it some people fall? They're just not busy enough. They're idle. They need to always abound in the work of the Lord. It'll help keep you from falling. And for those reasons and others that could be cited, we need to always abound in the Lord's work. Come with me now to the book of Galatians chapter 4. In Galatians 4 and verse 18, listen to these words. Paul said, it is good, what's good, Paul, to be zealously affected, look at that next word, always, in a good thing, and not only when I'm present with you. And so the point is, be zealously affected always in good. Always do what's right. Always do the right thing. Always do good. Be zealous about it. Have a sincerity about you, regardless of where you are or who you're with. He said, not only when I'm present with you. I need to always be zealous in doing good, regardless of who might be with me. Whether the preacher's with me or not. Whether the elders are with me or not, whether my wife or my husband is with me or not, whether my parents or my children are with me or not, to be zealous in doing what's right. Because, like somebody said before the service started, God will always get you. Right? Remember the reading, Revelation 20, 11 through 15? Sometimes we forget that God is always watching. In the book of Hebrews chapter 4 and in verse 13, the writer said, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened under the eyes of him with whom we have to do. And so always be zealous in doing good, regardless of where we are or who we're with. Always takes in every opportunity, doesn't it? Maybe at school, at work, in the home, in wherever it might be. But then in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 20, another always. Paul said, giving thanks when? Always. For all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Give thanks when? For Thursday in November. How about always? In Colossians 3 and verse 15. Three words. Be ye thankful. Writing to the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 18. He said, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. We have so much to be thankful for, don't we? Be thankful always. Oh, I expect we could whine and complain, and yet we can say thank you too, can't we? Be thankful for what we have. We can be thankful for the victory that we have in Jesus. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 57. We can be thankful for the care of others, like in 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 16. We can be thankful for faithful brethren, Colossians 1 3. We can be thankful for the inheritance that is in store for us. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 12, and Paul said, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet or fit to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. And so give thanks always. And then finally, in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15, Peter said, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready. You know what the next word is? Always. Be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. And so as I make my study of this word, always, I need to be ready always. Be ready always to give answer. Never know when somebody might ask a question as to the reason of the hope that's in you. Could you give an answer? Take study to do that, doesn't it? Paul said, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. 2 Timothy 2:15. Sometimes we don't know because we haven't studied. Take some reading. Ephesians 3:4. When ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, Paul said. Are you ready always? We need to be ready always for the Lord's coming, not knowing the day or the hour when that's going to take place. In Matthew chapter 24, the Lord said, of that day and that hour knoweth no man. Matthew 24:36. And so he said in verse 42, watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. Verse 44, therefore be ye ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. He cometh as a thief in the night. 2 Peter 3:10. And so since we don't know when that's going to be, we need to be ready always. We need to be ready always to die. For it is appointed a man once to die. Hebrews 9:27. And since we don't know when that's going to be, we need to always be ready. We can ready ourselves today through hearing the Lord's word, believing it with all of our heart, repentance of our sins toward God, confession of our faith. I believe that Christ is God's Son. And by being baptized into Jesus Christ for the remission of our sins. And then to walk in newness of life, a pleasing life, faithful unto God. Or if we've already obeyed the gospel, but we've become unfaithful. We've not been what we need to be always. We've become unfaithful to the Lord. We have sin that needs to be corrected. We need to pray about that as we turn from it in repentance. Like Simon, Acts 8, after his heart was not right in the sight of God, he was told, repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven. And he said, pray for me. And if that's what you'd like for us to do for you, we'll be happy to do that. Any way we can help you in making your life right with God, we always make ourselves available to do that. But you know what? The opportunity isn't always there. Because one of these days, the door's going to be shut. And so now is the time. Today is the day of salvation. Won't you come now? Always stand and sing the song.